everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. And now a guy who makes me laugh as much as Doug Steckler, Adam Carolla. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Timmy. How are you doing,
brother? Doing excellent, man.
Great to be on the show this evening.
you know, for me, I'm like Captain
Sully, just logging time. You know what I mean? I'm getting experience on the air. And it's for free.
When you first agreed to come on with us, it was like for 5 minutes every Friday night, you know, give or take a week or two. And now we've locked you into like another job.
Yeah, I know. That's my assistant on the other line telling me to call you. Smooth move, X-Lax.
Hey, do you remember, you and I grew up in the Valley
Let me say something real quick.
Sure.
I just got done skipping my rope, so I'm a little out of wind, but
that's fine.
I was watching How We Do It.
Right.
The Howie Mandel show.
Yeah, right.
When a guy who looks exactly like Howie Mandel, except for with Burt Reynolds toupee and wraparound cop glasses that he chooses to wear indoors, asks you to dump a giant tub of marmalade jelly on your head and then dance around like a queer bait, go ahead and suspect something might be up. Hey, it's Howie Mandel, one of the most recognizable guys in television for the last 20 years, using the same voice with a crazy wig on.
Right.
He's wearing Rip Taylor's wig, and he's wearing ski sunglasses indoors, and his plan is he has a new perfume called Eau de Fart, and he needs you to put a funnel in your ass. Go ahead and suspect something's up, America.
And the nice thing about that is when he gets an idea like that, he doesn't drive in the ground. It doesn't go on longer than 45
minutes out. That's to outside. That's hot. Sometimes they run as short as the low 30s, 33, 34 minutes. Yeah. How long? And by the way, it's not like he's, you know, it's not like he's, you know, the master of voices or anything. I mean, for Christ's sake, the guy just uses his regular voice.
Yeah, you know, I actually, I'm a huge fan of Howie Mandel's stand-up, and he, I heard that he actually listens to the show occasionally, and he gets pissed when I say this, but I'm actually telling you the truth. I was a huge fan when he was doing stand-up, and he had that handbag. Remember the bag that was in the shape of a hand?
Clever stuff.
And then he'd put a surgeon's glove and put it on his head. I actually liked that. I thought that was hysterical. And he thinks I'm busting his balls over it.
Well, you know, I think the problem is your use of the word actually. Because I get those compliments. Like, your movie, it was actually good. If you go up a couple octaves and you put the word actually in front of stuff.
That's a major insult.
See, like, you can say to your wife, I enjoyed having sex with you. But if you say, I actually enjoyed having sex with you, and you go up an octave, there's going to be trouble. So maybe you shouldn't qualify it with actually. I actually enjoyed that stuff you did. And then you can slide in these. I don't care what anyone says. I thought it was funny. I've had to tell people, like, please stop complimenting me. I'm going to kill myself. I actually enjoyed the movie.
I actually enjoyed it. Yeah, it's like when you go to a restaurant, too. Man, I actually enjoyed that meal.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to die and get the radical diarrhea, but I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it.
Speaking of restaurants, do you remember you and I grew up in the Valley at the same time? You remember in the late 70s, early 80s, through the mid 80s, when they tried to jam soup and salad bars down our throat along Ventura Boulevard?
Yeah, they tried to ram salad, soup, and then about 3 years later, we became enamored with the wrap sandwich. It's a wrap. Bread, the toast wasn't cutting it. After a million years of eating crap on toast, somewhere in 1986, someone declared fat. Enough already. The toast is, its run has come to an end. We must wrap all sandwiches.
And the wrap just tears apart, two bites into the sandwich, and it's over.
First off, we have something called a burrito, do we not? We already have a wrap. It's a Mexican sandwich. It's called a burrito. And then secondly, have you ever been at, like, Art's Deli eating a corned beef sandwich and go, this just isn't cutting it? Something's missing. The swirl effect, perhaps. I'm missing a whirlpool of sandwich here. And by the way, you ever try to put mustard or mayo on a wrap? It's like you have to dab it on. You have to stipple it on the top. Jesus Christ. What was that whole wrap sandwich conspiracy that we bought into?
I don't, and it's still going on. The other day I was at the California Chicken Cafe. He goes, "You want to try the new wrap?" I'm like, "Oh, man, the wraps. I've never had one." I can't imagine.
The other thing about the wrap, one of the great things about a sandwich, let me explain. I know you have a lot of listeners in the wrap and sandwich industry, and I just want to talk to them for a second. Sandwich was originally designed to travel in a lunch pail. And it could make it through, you know, a good 4 or 5 hours sitting out in the sun, baking in that tin box, and still be good by noon that day, you know?
Right.
The wrap, it don't travel. The wrap gets soggy and weird. Its skin is too thin. You ever bring home half the wrap and try to eat it the next day? It's like seagull crap and foil. There's nothing there. It's completely decomposed. The bread holds up. You can take a deli sandwich home or a turkey sandwich home and eat it the following day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The wrap don't travel, Tim. God damn it.
That wrap don't travel.
The wrap don't travel. And it has no home in the Corolla house. Say that right now.
Speaking of rest, do you remember, obviously you remember Hamburger Hamlet. I don't know if you went to the one on Van Nuys Boulevard. I don't think it's still there.
I think it is.
Oh, all right. But there was always a rumor going around. There's two restaurants in town that had rumors that were never substantiated that if you worked at Hamburger Hamlet as a waiter, you had to be gay. And if you worked at the Apple Pan, you were an ex-con. Have you ever heard those two rumors?
Well, the Apple Pan one, yeah. There are the places that hire like the three-time losers. Yeah, I mean, I have seen that. There's a couple of places that do that, which is kind of weird. There's like Anawalt Lumber on La Brea, where like every time you're behind the counter, there's a super heavy set Latino chick with a teardrop tattoo and Chewy written on her forearm, and you're like, oh, I get it. You've been in the joint. So there are a couple places to do it. Yeah, I think Apple Pan does that. And as far as the Hamburger Hamlet goes, it's got the word Hamlet in it.
Right.
So I would assume that would attract the gays. Because, you know, that's a very gay-sounding word, Hamlet. And, you know, here's what I'll bet it is. A lot of people in theater are gay, and a lot of people in theater have to work waiting gigs.
Right.
So thus, you're going to have a much higher concentration of gays in the restaurant waiter gig than you would in the construction field, for instance.
You know, again, Adam Carolla is with us. When you're in a Hollywood party, and I assume that you've been to a few in your life.
Couple.
It is so much easier for a guy to admit to other guys that he's into the old stickeroo than it is if he said he's a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I never thought about that.
Back in the 70s, that was reversed.
Yeah, look, if I said, guess who I'm porking, Tim Conway Jr., they throw me ticker tape parade. If I said, yeah, you know, I don't mind McCain too much, I'd be attacked with an end table. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
What's up?
I don't know what happened.
What happened? We need to go back a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I think it happened almost overnight.
It did.
You know, when we weren't looking, all of a sudden, bang, it's honorable to marry a guy to marry another guy, but it is an absolute disgrace to vote for a war veteran for president.
Well, it's basically, you know, if you're Republican or you vote for McCain or you vote Republican, you're xenophobe and you're racist. And,
right.
Oh, don't be so naive. You don't know how the world works. You know what bullies we are and so on and so forth.
Right.
Listen, this is all just a complete load of crap. I mean, obviously, we're the best country in the world, or everyone wouldn't be fleeing to us all the time and constantly. I mean, it's a pretty easy math. The rest of the world hates us. Why are they swimming every river and climbing every mountain to get here?
Yeah, they risk their lives to get here, to this crappy country.
Right. I hate Poland. You see me trying to get there this weekend? Have any vacation plans to go to Poland?
I was in the parking lot after one of our shows, and I was talking to a young lady. And she said, I heard a rumor that you were a big fan of George Bush. I said, yeah, that's true. And she says, how dare you? I mean, are you still a big fan? I said, yeah, I happen to be. And she looked at me and turned away as if I, you know, just, you know, farted in her face.
Well, here's my whole point with all these Yahoo blowhard lefties. I don't claim to know, and you don't know either. You know, when they try to explain to me what's going on in Guantanamo Bay,
right.
Like, you have some special information from your crappy rent-controlled one-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica that CNN and Fox aren't privy to. Hey, James Bond, you don't know ass about what's going on in Guantanamo Bay, so don't pretend to know, and I don't either, so shut your face
right.
And let the pros handle it, number one. Number two, all this, you know, we're just creating more terrorists. Really? Where's your proof? Zero terrorist attacks on American soil in the last
right.
7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your proof? You idiots, you don't know. And number three, look, the rest of the world hates us because we're prosperous. It's like one big high school, and we're the kid who's pulling up in the convertible Porsche.
Right, exactly.
Did you see Pretty in Pink?
Yes.
We're James Spader. We're sitting out front smoking a cigarette. We got a sweater, maybe two sweaters, one around the waist, one around the shoulders.
Right.
We're wearing Italian loafers with no socks. We're blowing our cigarette around. We're leaning against our red Porsche.
Right.
And we're explaining to Ducky Boy what it's like.
Yeah, and if you F with us, it's the end of you.
Right. So the rest of the world hates us because the rest of the world is jealous of us, and that's the way it's always going to be. We're the prom king and the prom queen of the world, and they will hate us for us, and they will always hate us for that.
Yeah.
And the Middle East will always hate us because of our lifestyle, because of our freedom, and because of our choices.
Right. But, you know, with the Middle East, I understand the vibe there a little, that, you know, it's a whole area of the world run by men for men.
Right.
Women can't drive, women can't vote, women can't do this, women can't read, they can't get educated. And so I understand them going, you know, United States is filled with a bunch of, you know, pussy whipped, dudes. We're in the, you know, the Middle East where we run things, we run the show. So I understand it on that level.
Look, you can judge. Tim, just dig this vibe for a second. Let me get heavy with you. You can dig any nation. You can judge them by how they treat their females. Because all a female is the weaker of the two. And it's like this. You got a roommate. One guy's a professional football player, and the other guy's a jockey. Now, you show me a roommate who does the dishes, pays half his rent, utilities, does everything, even Steven, even though he could crush the other guy, I will show you an evolved, I will show you an evolved guy.
Right.
You show me a guy that says, look, I got 60 pounds on you, bitch, and I'm gonna backhand you if you don't get in the kitchen and start cooking and you don't put a pillowcase over your head, I will show you an unevolved.
Yeah, now, you have a point.
Simple, pure, and simple. We realize that we're stronger than women, that we're smarter than women, but yet we don't take advantage of it. We don't, because we're evolved. And any culture that is not evolved beats the crap out of women simply because they can. They take advantage of the people they can take advantage of. They're called bullies. And take a look at the cultures that treat their women the best, and take a look at the cultures that treat, find the top five that treat the women the best, and the bottom five that treat them the worst. I'll show you the most evolved and the least evolved. And here's the thing with the bullies. The second the bullies think they got 10 pounds on you and 2 inches on you, they will start to kick your ass. And they can't understand why we don't blow them back into the Stone Age. And sometimes they mistake that for weakness, and they puff their chests out
right.
because they have a bully mentality. They bully women. They bully any country around them. They bully anyone they think they can bully. And if they thought they could get away with destroying this country, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
A second.
Yeah.
And every other country would do the same goddamn thing to this country. And that's what people don't understand. If Japan had won World War II, they would have taken our crap over in a second. Germany, all of them. We're the only country in the world that will beat your country and then get your economy back up and running and then clear out after 2 years.
Exactly right. You know, back when World War II was happening, then we were fighting, you know, the Japanese and the Germans, everybody in the country rallied around the United States for, you know, for those two wars, and also Korea, and for the most part, Vietnam. But now you get, kids nowadays saying, Gitmo should be closed because we're taking away the rights of the terrorists.
There's,
right?
240-something guys over there.
That's it, 240.
Who gives a rat's ass? They get their prayer shawls. They get all their crap, and they get the three hots and a cot. And by the way, I'm not signing off on the notion that everyone at Gitmo is an innocent cab driver from Tikrit. I'm assuming they're there for a reason, and I'll trust our government to handle it. Who gives a crap?
Exactly.
Please, people, move on to real topics. There's literally less than a junior high class at an average-sized junior high here in the Southland over at some plot of land in Cuba. Get over it.
Yeah. No, I went to elementary school out in the valley, and there were more kids in the fifth and sixth grade than they have down there.
Right. And they have plenty of studies where these guys got released and went right back into action. So just shut up and let the pros handle it, you fairies.
Adam Carolla is with us. I saw something today. Every once in a while, you see something that you haven't seen in 30 years, and you look at it and go, how dare that guy do that? Oh, wait a minute. 30 years ago, I did that. Why can I get down?
I can't pass judgment on almost anything.
But I saw this happen today. It was a guy in the valley who had his car up on the curb. Two wheels on the curb, two wheels on the street.
Changing the oil. Was he letting it drop into the storm drain?
Right into the storm drain, into the water.
Look. Tim, I know what you're thinking, and I got to say
something. I used to do that.
We got to stop these Jews. We have to. They're out of control, and I know we don't want to turn this into a racist thing, but we know it was a Jew, and we know what he was doing, and we see it all the time, and these people don't come from a land where they recycle, and the Jews are constantly flushing the transmission fluid and the engine oil down, and it goes right down the LA River, right out into the Pacific, right into the harbor there. And I'm going to say something, because I know people don't want to be called anti-Semite, or they're scared of, you know, the Hollywood community, you know, Steven Spielberg's not going to cast them in the next movie, but I'm going to say something. You Jews, knock it off. You go to the Pep Boys and let them change your oil with everybody else. All the Mexicans and all the white people, all right? It's out of control. It really is.
But I see
another guy with a prayer shawl and a yarmulke underneath his pickup truck with a big gardener's cage around it. The weed whacker rolling around in there, just dumping it straight into the storm drain. I'm going to say something.
But do you remember doing that when you got your first car?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just popped it right up on the curb and released the valve and it's over.
Yeah, it's like I could buy a pan and a jack stand, or I could just roll it up my neighbor's driveway halfway up and let it go that way. Yeah.
Now what you see is guys going to the auto zone with their old oil.
And they're turning it in.
Yeah, and they throw it into a bin. I'd never do that.
You know, you want to know what's worse than they change the oil into the storm drain?
Hmm.
I haven't seen this in a while, but I used to see it a lot. The pyramid of cigarette butts that the guy empties from his car ashtray on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Like, really? You just circumnavigate the globe blowing butts until they're actually bursting from your ashtray. And at a certain point, after collecting every single ash and every butt in the tray, you're just going to pull over and dump it just on the ground. Just in the middle of the street. What an a-hole. How big an a-hole do you have to be?
It usually happens in like a John's or Vaughn's parking lot.
Right. Like, first off, why bother collecting them if you're going to dump them that way?
Right.
And then secondly, you can't time this, so you pull in your driveway and just dump them in the trash can in the driveway. They're going to make a pyramid of these things.
And who's using the ashtray in the car anymore? Once you're done with that cigarette, you don't want the smell around. It's out the window.
It's probably why it was like an old school move. But how big a douchebag do you have to be for that move? And then secondly, here's another one I've seen. I live up in the hills, and I'll go walking around, you know, walk my dog or walk around with the kids, push the kids in the stroller and that kind of stuff. And once in a while, I'll just see a big old doggy Duke just in the street, but a foot and a half away from the curb.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes the curb won't even be a curb. It'll just be dirt.
Right.
It'll just be the side of the hill. It's just, you know, asphalt runs right in the side of the hill. And I think to myself, really? You couldn't have just kicked it to the side a little bit? Like, I don't say take it home, roll it in jimmies, mount it on a cedar plaque, and cover it with shellac. How about a little Pele sidekick? Just roll it into the weeds over there. Really? A car drove through it? Really? That's it? I'm just going to ask my dog right here.
Now, when I was younger, you step in dog ass, and you get the stick out and the hose, and you try to get it out. Now the shoes just get thrown away.
Yeah, because everything's got the waffle pattern on the bottom, and S gets in there, and that S will be, you'll be wearing those shoes to your funeral. You'll be in your casket with S from 40 years ago on the same. You can't get it out of the pattern.
You can't get it out, and the amount of gagging that you do while trying to remove it is not worth, you know, the $49.50 for a new pair.
I'm not even Mr. Conscientious, you know. My dog, I just take it over to the dirt, and then the dog craps, and I kick it in the leaves a little bit, and I sort of, you know, bury it like a cat, but just right in the street. Just right in the street.
Yeah. You notice that people always try to sell their dogs to everybody, too?
Ugh.
You know, most people hate other people's dogs.
And they constantly
sell him like, hey, isn't he great? Look at him. He's unbelievable. You can't believe what he does. Look at this guy. He's the best.
I like this one. He thinks he's a person. First off, he thinks you're a douchebag, and he thinks he's a dog. He doesn't think he's a person. He thinks he's a person. No, he doesn't. You don't add, you don't see him wanting to drive the car, cook an omelet, or watch TV, or do any of that stuff. He doesn't think he's a person.
And he doesn't want to be a person. Because he's got to get a job.
Look, let me take it from me. Being a person sucks.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a person. That's the other one is, not only I used to work at people's houses all the time. I used to be a finish carpenter. I'd go into people's houses. I'd install closets. I'd go into your house. I'd work in it for one afternoon. You'd pay me and I'd never see again in my entire life. But it was important to the old bitch behind the door that I make friends with Mittens. And Mittens would be scratching and pawing and, you know, barking. And she'd be doing the, you know what, put your hand out, but put it out slowly. Let him sniff you. Let him get to know you. Once he gets to know, where are we going? Aruba? Sweetie, I'm cutting out. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw this closet in your hall closet here. You're going to give me $280, and we're never going to see each other again.
Right?
Really, I need to make best friends with your dog. Put the effing dog in the laundry room and let me finish my job.
And if something ever happens, like my wife was bitten by a dog when we first met, a German Shepherd grabbed her by the arm and bit her hard enough where you can see it down to the bone, right?
Wow.
So the lady pulls the dog away and, you know, she, you know, puts a bandage on and cleans it up. And then the first thing the lady wants to do is reintroduce the dog to her.
It's so important that you make friends with the dog.
Yeah. Jesus, I mean, the dog practically killed her, and now they want to, you know, they want them to be best friends again.
Listen, I don't like that guy, but I don't like this guy either. The guy that can't read dogs.
Oh, right.
I have the world's friendliest lab. You know, she's one of these dogs that when her tail shakes, her whole body bends in the middle, and she goes trotting down the driveway. And once in a while, you'll get that Sparklets guy or that UPS chick who got bit when they were 9 months old, and they'll start freaking. And it's like, you really? What do you think? This is a grizzly bear coming at you? You see the dog is smiling, you know, tail wagging in the air like hot dog from the Archies. Really? You can't decipher the difference between this and a Rottweiler and Watts?
And you know what? Their first physical move is always the same. It's that move when you get out of a pool when you were a kid and you were cold. You put your two hands under your chin and you raise your elbows.
Yeah.
That's what they do around dogs that they think are going to attack them.
Yeah, and then they give you the story. And the problem, when they give the story, is as a society, we push it along. Like, they go, you know, I was bit when I was a toddler, and no one ever goes, you're 44, get the F over it. Everyone goes, oh, geez, hey, sorry, I didn't know you had a run-in with a dog in 1957.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. And this is something I'm tired of hearing. And it's an explanation that people have just settled in and believe now. But when you run over a pothole in Los Angeles, people will say, well, yeah, it's the rain, man. You know, the rain made this pothole. Really?
Right.
So the rain made a 7-inch pothole right there in the middle of Ventura Boulevard? And if it did, who the F designed the street where a little rain could, destroy the road?
This, Tim... I'm getting angry now because, as you know, obviously the economy's in the crapper, and California's really in the poop shoot.
Right.
And we can't afford to pay our employees, and we're going to a 4-day work week at the DMV, and so on and so forth. I mean, we're strapped, right? We're out of money. We're bankrupt.
It's over.
For 3 years, plus. I've been making the commute out to where you are right now,
right.
Down Wilshire Boulevard from La Brea. And for 3 years, I've been driving through the sprinklers that run along the median and that spray everywhere but the crap that's in the median.
Right.
And today, my wipers came on because I have the automatic rain-sensing wipers as I was hydroplaning through Lake Wilshire. And by the way, it rained all day the day before.
Right.
It rained all day this afternoon. Do we really the ground table saturated already? Do we really need to soak the hibiscus plant for a 15th time in as many days? Really need a sprinkler on there? But even if we are going to have it on, do we have to have it cascading into the third lane of Wilshire? How about you put some goddamn AstroTurf down? How about you do what they do in Phoenix, where they just put a little ground cover, they put some gravel down, and
right.
A couple indigenous cacti, and they move on? No. We got to flood Wilshire, and we flooded, and by the way, while we're flooding Wilshire, we're also effing up the street because the water's getting under the street and causing the potholes and doing all the stuff you were just talking about.
Right.
But it rained all day today, and it rained all day, so we're in the middle of one of the wettest winters we've had. The goddamn sprinklers are going. They're not landing anywhere, and then when I get home, I'll turn on the TV and hear Mayor Villaretardo explain to me that we're still living in a drought situation, that we still need to conserve water.
Right.
So I'm supposed to tighten my belt. I'm supposed to feel sorry for the city employees. I'm supposed to wonder where all the money is going. And I'm supposed to flush with a friend because we don't have any water in the city. And I've been driving through that lake for 3 goddamn years.
Yeah. I bought this at Home Depot, I think, for $29.
Rain sensor.
It's a rain sensor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. L.A., you can drive along the 101 in basically it's the perfect storm. You're basically on the set of the perfect storm. There's George Clooney on the hood, the bows coming up there, and see the sprinklers on the side of the freeway.
Right.
It's
unbelievable.
It's insane, right?
And
they have a rain sensor. You can go to Home Depot for $30.
And I have on my arm right now, my right arm is the size of Popeye's now, because every other time, if not, three out of four, I got to take the plunger out because there's not enough water pressure to throw the toilet paper and the crap down the toilet.
Right. Yeah. Because you got the 1.6 gallon.
Yeah, I got a gallon and a half of water trying to throw this crap down the toilet.
Yeah, I know. And, I don't know how intimate you are with your listeners, but Timmy don't drop any 6-inch subs. He's a 1-footer. So we're supposed to conserve water while we're driving through the lake on Wilshire Boulevard. And by the way, this is Wilshire Boulevard. This isn't Zizek. It's not the Zizek's exit.
Right.
This is Wilshire goddamn Boulevard in the middle of the city.
Right.
Every day for the last 3 years. And by the way, I'm assuming every day before that. I just didn't. I wasn't going that route before there. It floods the street. Is anyone going to do anything about it? Hell no. Meanwhile, their answer is, we need more money.
Right, exactly.
Why? You want to just submerge the Mid-Wilshire area? You don't have enough money to turn into Atlantis? Get your crap together.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, when you first got your driver's license at 16, and a buddy got a car, or, you know, he's borrowing dad's car or whatever.
Yeah.
When you're 16, your friends have no regard for your car whatsoever. They'll take out the cigarette lighter, you know, they'll push it in, it'll be red hot. Then they'll put it right in the dashboard and put a donut in the dashboard that'll be there forever.
Oh, listen, if you're talking about the toilet, I can do you work, but it'll do a lot worse than that. A lot worse. I've been urinated on whilst driving the car. Oh, yes. And my only recourse was my dad's rabbit. Thank God he's a Corolla, and he went with vinyl, everything, no carpet.
Oh, good.
It literally had rubber floor mats and rubber flooring, like there was no carpet, because that was an extra $40, you know,
right.
In 1979.
Right.
All I could do was take my large root beer that he got me, because he worked at Snacks Fifth Avenue over there at the mall. Off of Moore Park, all I could do was chuck it at him.
Right.
That was my only defense. It was, to which he threw his at me. So the guy's taking a whiz on me while I'm driving. I throw an entire, like, 32-ounce jumbo thing, and he chucks his at me. We're just standing by the side of the road. I open the car, and it spilled out of the car. What an ass.
And then there are parents, you know, we wonder why the parents don't like us to lend us the car, you know?
my dad's rabbit.
But it wouldn't be uncommon for, you know, I would borrow, I'd have my mom's car or something, then pick up all these idiots, and we go over to Westwood, and on the 405 approaching Westwood, some guy would just take the garage remote out of my mom's car and throw it out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Shut that right out the window. Yeah.
And can you imagine doing that? You know, I'm 45. I think you're 44, 45. Can you imagine doing that now to a buddy's car?
I don't think kids are nearly as retarded as we were when we... I mean, you think, like, when one of the Jonas Brothers passes out after too many brews, the other ones draw a penis on his forehead, put a cigarette in his mouth, and duct tape him to a lawn chair. I don't know if they're doing that anymore. Because that's the worst... The biggest thing, you could never fall asleep or pass out in front of anybody.
Right.
You'd be ruined.
Yeah, but for the guys who are still awake, that used to be the funniest part of the evening, to the point where you almost wet yourself.
Yeah.
Drawing on a guy's face.
You always knew what was going on because you'd get the hushed. Hey, come here. When you got the hey, come here, that meant Kirk had passed out. Somebody passed out. You get the quiet, semi-excited, hey, come here. And it's funny, too, because you'd hit for the cycle. You'd start off just choking up, making contact. You know?
Right.
A little shaving cream in his hands. But eventually, if he didn't wake up, it's like, he dropped your pants, put your ass on his head. I'm going to get a courtroom artist to draw it. We'll get a sprinkler key. Like, you just start going, you just keep going until the person... And by the way, if the guy was dead...
Right.
Eventually, you would have just desecrated his corpse, because you would never stop until he woke up.
Right. And when the guy wakes up and he's got the Sharpie all over him, the whipped cream, the cards between his toes, he doesn't get pissed. He's just embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know, he almost feel like he had it coming on.
You
he
know,
brought
it's
it
always,
on.
Always a good place for that, the beach.
Right,
guy'd have a couple brews and fall asleep out on the towel. You get the copper toe down, go to town, start collecting, you know, seashells and cigarette butts. Was always that great look. It was great, too, when you make that pyramid of, like, cigarette butts or seashells or whatever crap. And when the person popped up, they had that look where they were completely disoriented, but whatever was on their head was falling down their face, and they weren't sure what that was. I love the one moment. My favorite part of life is the one moment, not where the person's angry or happy or sad. It's the moment where they're processing what just happened. I got to tell you, I've told this story before, but I blew a fart into a coffee can once, and I got Jimmy to inhale it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, I told him it was, from Trader Joe's. It was one of those cylinders.
Right.
And it had, like, three beans floating around the bottom of it.
Right.
And, you know, when you smell coffee, you bury your face in the can.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And he was doing dishes at my house. We're playing cards. And I put the thing on my ass like it was an airlock. I actually twisted it and went, like, snapped into place somehow. Like, whoop. And I just did the and I whipped it around and I said, "You smell this fresh baked Sumatra bean?" And I just whipped it around and he buried his face into it and went,
"Wow."
And he pulled his head away and it was the moment of processing. You know what I mean? That was the best part. Not the part where he started screaming and trying to blow it out of his nose and exhale it later. The one moment where you see the guy's face change. You know when mom has the Tupperware and you think there's orange juice in it and there's milk and you take that swig? Just that one moment. It only lasts a second, but it's the face you make for the 1 second. For 1 second, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's being at a party and taking a swig of beer, but the bottle is filled with cigarette butts.
Yeah, some guy's been dipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the one split second.
It's the one split second.
But, you know, I think we all live for that split second. For that split second, you know, that's what enjoyment is, because a lot of work goes into it.
It does.
And there's the payoff, that 1 second.
That 1 second when you know it's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
And you know what? I still am really immature when it comes to that. I went to Ireland with Doug Steckler in 1999. We were over there for the Millennium. It was one of the station event. So we flew over there. And on the way back, we were both drinking. And he passed out in coach. And they give you socks when you travel. You know, these green socks on Aer Lingus.
Right.
And so I collected socks from everybody. And I piled the socks on him. And you couldn't see him. He was under the pile of socks flying back to the United States. And everybody, you know, on the plane was either Irish or Irish-American. And they all got the joke, so they all started throwing their socks in. And it was great. And the moment where he realized that he woke up and he was, you know, buried in a pile of socks, that 1 second I got a picture of, that's what you live for. Those are the things you remember.
Yeah, once he's either laughing about it or complaining about it or bitching about it, it's the moment of process. That is really the most exciting part of life.
Right.
You really, if you're lucky, you probably have 12 of those in a lifetime.
Right, and that's why you remember all of them, too.
Yeah, it is weird. And I don't remember what happens after or before, but I remember that 1 second.
Right. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, growing up in the Valley, you remember these carnivals and used to come around every once in a while in a church parking lot.
Right.
Or at the park.
Yeah.
And everybody got real excited. You know, it's 2 weeks from the carnival. It's a week. It's going to be 2 days from now. And everybody gets all worked up to get there. And then once you get there, nobody has any effing fun.
Now, well, first off, I mean, you're looking at rides that, like, the zipper.
Right.
And the zipper is the hairiest thing ever conceived, and they're all on the back of a steak bed truck. So you get the feeling like if there's trouble, they can just take off to the next town. Like, right. I don't like riding roller coasters that are actually on trucks.
Right.
I like them on the ground. You know, call me old-fashioned. Then the guys that would be running the thing would be wearing like a red jumpsuit, unzipped to their navel, no shirt on underneath,
right,
and smoking a Winston. And the stuff didn't look like it was maintained very well.
Right.
Then they had weird stuff. I was always too rich for my blood. They had this spin art where you take the paint and the squeeze bottle and spray it onto the piece of paper.
Right.
And then they had the other thing, which was the cruelest of all things, which is, you throw the dime, you win the goldfish. So now you're looking around. Can you imagine now if somebody said, Hey, I got a hefty bag with a goldfish in. I need you to drag it around for the next 6 hours. He'd be like, F you. What kind of prize is that?
Yeah, he'd try not to win that.
Fish is going to be dead by the time you get home anyway. The over-under on the fish is really the weekend, right?
Right.
And you first thing you do is you go win the goldfish, and you're walking around like a retard carrying a bag with a fish in it for the entire. You got to set it down. You can't eat your cotton candy. They got a fish in that. They don't do that anymore, do they?
You know, I think they still do, because we were up at the I took my daughter to the carnival, and she won one of those things.
She won a goldfish?
Yeah, she threw a ping pong ball into a little fish bowl, and all of a sudden I had to carry that thing around. You know, and I had to drive it back to Los Angeles.
Is that a prize?
No, it's a pain in the ass.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then what do they think? You have an whole aquarium with no fish in it, just at home, ready to go?
Right. Yeah,
it's a crazy notion. Like, oh, yeah, I got a 55-gallon aquarium in my entry hall. Water, filter, castle, everything. Just no fish. Thank God we got this goldfish.
Yeah, I thought it was odd. I mean, you know, giving away an animal if you win. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, you got a ping pong ball into a dog's cage. Here you go. You got a puppy.
I know. And then, listen, the cotton candy has to be about the worst goddamn thing ever created. I'm sorry. I don't want to sound un-American, but it tastes like crap. It gets all over your hands. It comes on a crazy stick. There's no way to eat it without getting it all over your face. And it really doesn't taste very good. It's not like a fudge brownie or
right.
a Snickers bar or something like that.
Right.
It's pink and powder blue, by the way. I don't know when they introduced powder blue. I grew up around pink cotton candy. It just looked like orange insulation.
Right.
And at a certain point, about 10 years ago, somebody said, you know what? We need another color of cotton candy. And it should be another weird hue of blue. Where did the blue crap come in, Tim?
And I don't
know. Who signed off on that?
I don't know. Not me. It was always pink when I was a kid.
I think it started looking like that Owens Corning fiberglass, and people started getting freaked out.
Right. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. You know, at these carnivals, when we'd go as kids, you know, rides were, you know, you buy a ticket for a quarter, you get on a ride. Now you buy a ticket for $1, and it's like 9 tickets to get on a ride.
I know, it's weird. And it's also, you know, like, here's the whole thing. Don't wait 33 years in between Disneyland visits like I did.
Right.
Because I went to Disneyland over the Christmas break, and, you know, because we're the Carollas, I think I went one time with my family when I was, like, 9, and, you know, it was like, that was $4 to get in or something.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, so now I'm walking with the wife. We're pushing the kids down Main Street. I'm like, how much these tickets sent me? Well, we got a deal. We got them on sale at $86. Like, what?
Yeah, each.
What?
Right.
What? I could have got a decent prostitute. I mean, a solid, you know, 6-plus style prostitute for $86. What? For you and the kid, all the kids were deal. They're $40. Like,
right.
What? Yeah, don't, you have to go every year. Then it's like postage stamps. You know what I mean? It'd be like if you bought a gallon of gas in 1933
right.
for 18 cents and then you just woke up a month ago and bought a gallon for $4. You'd be like, what the? It has to go up 3 cents a year.
Right.
Otherwise, you're in for shock.
No, you're right. And the hooker, I mean, you're going to spend $300 on tickets. You're going to spend another $300 inside. So that's $600. And you can really enjoy yourself in the hooker business for $600.
You know, I never combined the food with the ticket for the missus and all that. But you're right, Tim. I just kept thinking about 86 for me.
Right.
But you could really step up from a streetwalker to a high quality, you know, high end, classy call girl type.
Right. But even if it is a streetwalker or it's high end, it's always, you know, that hour with her is always better than the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You know, it's funny, whenever I go to any of those kind of things, all I can think of is, when am I going to get home to my TV set? But there's no way you can play that card 45 minutes in because you'll get the stink eye from the old lady.
Right.
She'll be complaining you didn't have it. But you can tease. You give it that like hour 45, 2 hour and 15 minutes. You'll soften up the soil with a well placed yawn. You'll do a little back crack move. And then she'll go, you hold up, okay? Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. And then you start working and stuff. Jeez, you know, traffic should be getting thick in the next beat that traffic, you know. But you have to keep playing it like you want to be there.
Right.
Listen, if it was up to me, I'd sleep over at the place. I'm just saying, you know, facts. I'll be okay.
But yeah,
the kids look like they're wearing out a little bit over there.
I'm that way with everything. Right. I go to a Dodger game, and you worry about the traffic on the way there. You get there, and you're like, it's only the third inning. You know, would I feel like an a-hole if I left in the fourth?
Right. It's such a great mentality. Everywhere you go, the second you walk in, you're like, when the F can we get out of here? And how can I not let the person who I went with know that I want to get out of here? I can subtly start laying down, you know, little subtle hints and little beating the traffic is a nice one.
Right.
You know, if you really want to score points and you're with the wife, you can miss the kids. That one works too.
Right, exactly.
That's what they're up to.
Yeah, you really got to get home though.
Meanwhile, you walk in, you make a beeline for the television set. You plop your ass down, you start watching TiVo. 45 minutes later, the miss is like, you missed the kids, right? Yeah, they're upstairs. Huh? Oh, hold on, let me hit pause. I didn't hear what you said. Whose kids? Right. Where are they? Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Well, they'll be there tomorrow, right?
All right, Adam Kroll is with us. Do you ever do this when you're driving for a long distance with your wife? And, you know, you live with your wife, so, you know, you don't have a lot of things to say to each other all the time. But a buddy calls you on your cell phone. You're like, do I pick this up and piss her off and enjoy a 10-minute conversation, or do I just hit ignore? And you pick it up, and then you got to try to somehow, like, involve her in the conversation.
Right.
And you
want to convey it. You want to convey it the same way, like, if you're on a speakerphone and you're talking to one of your J.O. buddies and you're going to the airport and there's a black guy driving the town car.
Right.
You want to give him a little heads up because you don't want him to say something stupid.
Yeah. Malibu Dan.
Say something about your wife or about the guy. You know, I'm heading to LAX. By the way, Lucius, awesome driver. Keep up the work, my main man. Anyway, what were we saying?
Malibu Dan used to be the worst with that because he gets stoned. And you know, when he got high, he would just say things, and the nicest guy in the world, but occasionally what he would say would sound pretty racist.
Right.
But he doesn't have a racist bone in his body.
Right. Yeah, I know. And there's this weird kind of, I'm with my wife. She's sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
Driving to Bear Mountain. So anyway, Rick, what's up? Lay it all out.
Right, yeah.
Now he's got nothing to say.
Yeah, the setup is 5 minutes, and then it's like, what's happening? But Malibu Dan did this. We went a limousine, and I don't remember where we were going. It was a station event, and the driver happened to be a black guy. And Malibu Dan was, you know, he was getting high in the back and talking to everybody. And then he would talk to the driver and go, hey, bro, man, what's happening up there? I'm like,
right.
Hey, Dan.
Right.
You can't change the inflection. And he goes, I didn't even know I was doing it.
Wow.
Yeah?
Well, let me say this, and let me ask your opinion, and I know you have a lot of guys that try for a living listening to the show, so let me just put this weird little piece of protocol etiquette out for you. I have been driven in a stretch limousine quite a few times just for various, you know, functions and things that have to do with the business. I never want to be the a-hole celebrity who hops in the car and puts the divider up. But oftentimes, I want the divider up because either we're smoking the weed,
right,
or we're having some kind of horrible, disgusting conversation, or you're trying to get it on, or you're trying to do one of a thousand things back there. Either way, when you're in the back of a limo and you have three or four of your drunken buddies, the last thing you want is the uptight chick listening to all the disgusting stuff that you just did at the club.
Right.
So... But when you raise the thing, it's sort of an admission of guilt. Like, look, you queer baits gonna all go down on each other back there? They assume the worst, you know what I mean? They think they're gonna bring it down, they're gonna be a daisy chain of you guys back there. So my point is, and they just leave the crap down the whole time, I'm saying this, if you drive a limo that has the divider, you should nicely say to the person, listen, I'm going to put this divider up unless
enjoy
you don't
yourselves.
Want me. When you need me, go ahead and put it down. Until then, enjoy.
That's great.
And just put it up.
Right.
And if they want to bring it down, then they'll bring it down. Or if they have something to say, they'll bring it down. Don't make them bring it up. It makes you feel elitist, and it seems like you're doing coke off each other's asses back there.
And you notice, I bet you do this too, when you go to put it up, first of all, when you want to put it up, there's going to be a 5-minute pause of, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I put it up? And then you inch it. It goes up 2 inches.
Yeah, they'll never notice if it goes up, an inch a mile. They'll never notice that they're looking at a barrier where once light passed through. They're never going to notice.
You're absolutely right, though. It should be the driver putting up, saying, guys, enjoy yourself back there. I'll be here if you need me.
I have been in 1,000 limos. I've never been with a driver that said, I'll just put this up. And when you need me, you bring it down. Never, never. And it should just be standard etiquette. Am I right?
Right, exactly.
The other thing I've never found in a limo is a radio I could work.
Right.
It's up above your head. It's pitch black. You have that crazy Galactica thing going on the ceiling now. You're mesmerized by Orion's belt.
That's always working.
You're staring at the Big Dipper, but it's purple, green neon. And somebody says, put some tunes on.
Right.
And you go up, and every single limo, anyone, please, call me a liar. Check this out. There's never the knob. There are always just 47 buttons, and it's black as coal. And so you hit one button, and eventually you turn the thing on, and it's ranchero music, and it's blaring, and you can't turn it down because there's no knob. There's a volume button, but you'll keep hitting buttons, and eventually the face will pop off and land in your beer. Really? You're going to do the face pop-off stereo up top?
Right.
In the limo, they all have it, and none of them have the knob ones either.
And here's another thing that limousine companies have got to stop doing. When a guy's paying, like you're paying probably, when you do pay for it, $100 an hour for a stretch, right?
Right.
And then you go to, taste what the guy's got in the bar, and it's, Seagram's, or it's less than Seagram's gin. The vodka is something the guy just made in his bathtub that morning.
Right. So
how about
weird,
some
crazy, clear, crystal bottle,
right.
Not sure what it is.
How about some high-end bottles there for a guy who's paying high-end prices? Maybe a little bottle of Grey Goose.
Yeah, and then there's these, like, proclamations, like, you want me to stop and get some ice?
Right.
I want you to stop and get some ice before you pick me up. Not now. It's weird, yeah. And there's a weird, they have a weird mixture. I have, like, a zesty V8.
Right.
And not a 7-Up, but a Bubble Up or something. And then the weird clear stuff in the decanter. It looks like it's been there for 1,000 years. It's the booze. It's how Larry Tate would make a highball on Bewitched. He'd come out. Speaking of that, remember those 60s and 70s, sitcoms and dramas when the guy'd come home from work?
Right.
And he'd go, now imagine this. Imagine what a time they were living in. Larry Tate would have a tough day down on Madison Avenue, right? Or Darren would come home and, Jesus, I need a belt.
Right.
I need a drink. He'd come in the front door. He'd loosen up his tie. He'd walk right across the living room to that little mobile serving bar.
Right.
Meanwhile, the wife's in the kitchen making meatloaf. He'd walk right up to the mobile bar. He'd throw the cap off the thing. The ice bucket would be filled.
Right.
He'd grab the tongs, throw a couple things on there, dump a little Crown Royal on there, and make his way into the kitchen. Then the wife would come out, oh, honey, you're home.
Right.
Who's been filling that ice bucket? What kind of woman is he married to? That's a woman. Could you imagine ever coming home, your wife had a bucket full of ice?
No.
If these guys would come home, they'd be 2 hours late, there'd be a bucket, they'd be an hour early, there'd be a bucket. Who's bucket full of ice? Who's filling this thing?
Yeah, no, the guys get home nowadays, And
F you, there's a Swanson Hungry Man in the freezer if you want to eat.
Yeah, or where are we going to dinner? You know, I mean, you know, you're right. The art of cooking, I think this is the last generation that's going to cook.
Jesus Christ, I got to tell you, one of the greatest conversations I had with my wife is, you know, she called in some sushi when he was pick it up, and then gave me the, you know, at the end of a long work day for me, gave me the, hey, why don't you go pick it up? I said, look, I'm going to need you to get into the expensive car that I lease you. I'm going to need you to drive down the long driveway of the house that I pay for. I need you to go through the gates that I built.
Mm-hmm.
You drive down the hill to the sushi place and then pull out the credit card that I pay for. And drive back up the hill in the car that I lease and come back to the mansion that I pay for. And I will be waiting here. Are you high? What the hell has happened? What happened from the time where the ice bucket was filled to go pick up your own goddamn sushi? You're not. They've taken it from. Not only are we not cooking, guess who's flying?
Right,
and you're also going on the run.
And when you're at a party and two or three of the wives get together, they'll try to one up each other on how crappy they are at cooking. You know, oh, you don't.
Really?
You can't cook a grilled cheese. I can't boil pasta. You couldn't boil pasta.
I know. When did knowing stuff become you know, for the bourgeois? You know, oh geez, you sew? I don't sew. Are you nuts? Part of Guatemala are you from? No, I don't sew. I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
What is that?
Right.
With a certain amount of pride? And guys do it too.
Oh yeah.
Geez, I got a flat. I don't know. I had to call AAA. I was at home, but I don't know where the hell the lug nut is on the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get the jack out of the truck. I mean, remember when guys, how many times, by the way, growing up as a guy, you'd at least hear the stories, you know, where the guy, you know, your friend was BSing, but he'd tell you that story. Yeah, I'm leaving the 7-Eleven, and this guy comes in. You know,
right.
It's like a tough guy. He's wearing a peacoat. He bangs me in the shoulder. He doesn't say sorry. I tell the guy, you want some? You want some? And he backs down. You know I meant this. And you know the guy's BSing, but that's his story.
Right.
Now you hear your buddies, and you're like, what happened? Oh, geez. I was on La Cienega. And, you know, I tooted my horn at a guy. He got out of the car. I freaked out and rolled the window up. I didn't know what to do. I crapped myself. I just called 911.
So admit, absolutely,
like,
admit.
Really? You're going to advertise your puss?
Yeah.
Remember, at least back in the day, you would say, hey, this guy, yeah, the guy got out of the car. I got out of the car. I said, you want some? You want trouble? You found it.
Right, exactly.
Now everyone's just advertising their pussy.
Well, getting back to this, my wife did this, and again, she, you know, she's great with the kid and keeps the house rolling and is not afraid to clean. I mean, we don't have a housekeeper. She does all that stuff. She, you know, she controls the house.
Oh,
but
really?
she will occasionally say to me, she'll, you know, be wearing a shirt that's wrinkled, and I go, oh, man, I think this thing needs ironing. And she'll say, you want me to do it for you?
What? Yeah. I had a funny one with my wife. You know, we have the Sylvia, the cleaning woman, comes every Friday and spends, you know, 12 hours doing the crap my wife could be doing during the week. And a couple months ago, she says to me, you know, the house is looking a little shabby, a little rough around the edges. And, you know, I'm honestly... I'm thinking about having Sylvia coming out 2 days a week. I thought, oh, for a second, I thought you were going to tell me you're going to pick up a mop. Boy, that was close. Really? That's the conversation? Think about having Sylvia out on Wednesdays, too? This is awesome what we've become.
It is amazing. But I will say this. My wife, I said to her, I said, listen, you can stay home. I'll pay for the cars, the house, the kid. I'll give you a credit card. I'll give you cash, whatever. But as long as you're home, you know, you got to, you know, break out that mop once in a while. And she does.
Wow.
I mean, I think she's like, you know, from another planet.
You got to keep her.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't have her talk about it at the party.
As a matter of fact, she doesn't even
she'll be a pariah in front
absolutely.
Of her other female friends.
Yeah, no, she'll...
she'll be cooking and sewing.
Yeah, but
put ice in the bucket.
And she doesn't even like when somebody comes in to clean because she's so self-conscious. She's got to clean the house before they come, you know?
Well, she's keeper.
I think I got lucky there. Hey, so the movie's still out, The Hammer, huh? That's still selling like hotcakes?
Yeah, it's doing real nice. Got Sports Illustrated Sports Comedy of the Year.
Look at that.
It's a pretty nice accolade over there in Sports Illustrated. And well, it was in their magazine and everything, too. It wasn't like some kind of online whatever.
Right.
And, yeah, it's going great. You can go to Amazon and pick it up or wherever and pick it up. And as a matter of fact, if you go and pick it up, send the jacket in to me, I'll sign it. I've done thousands of them.
But a self-addressed stamped envelope that's open.
Yeah, don't do the thing that my listeners do, which is seal the self-addressed return envelope. It's happened a few times. I got a lot of stoners.
Hey, what other projects you got going on? I know you're busy. You got a lot of Hollywood crap going on. Like Dr. Drew's got a million things going on.
Yeah, I got a couple of features I'm working on, and I'm actually working on a sitcom.
Is that right?
As well, which is, I never wanted to do a sitcom, but at a certain point, you know, it's hard to say no to super easy money.
Yeah, and no longer having to get up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, so, you know, I haven't really, you know, my whole career was always about, let's do Crank Yankers, and let's do The Man Show, and let's do a bunch of Loveline and radio, and just stuff where we could do what we've been doing for the last hour.
Right.
But at a certain point, it'd be nice to get paid. So...
yeah, like the you know, the Everyone Loves Raymond money or Seinfeld money.
Well, I mean, seriously, there's an element. I'm no spring chicken anymore. I have a family, and I'm starting to think, you know, hell, if you can't beat them, join them. And hell, you're at least as funny as Jim Belushi, right?
I mean,
Charlie Sheen can't be that much funnier than me,
right? Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Seinfeld, who's obviously the exception, but he made over $1.5 billion on that show.
Oh, they do those Forbes, you know, what celebrities have made the most last year thing.
Right.
And it's like, Oprah will be like $200 million, and then second will be like Seinfeld, like $65 million, except for the difference is he doesn't work.
Right, exactly. He just sits at home and gets that check.
That's insanity. I'd like to see if I could get in on some of that insanity.
Excellent. Well, I hope that works out.
Thanks, Danny.
I really do. All right, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Really,
Jimmy.
Appreciate it. And buy The Hammer on Amazon.com, and then listen every morning at 6 a.m. and on the weekends as well. Well, you know, it sounds like a tape show on weekends, but I guess it's live. You come in and do that live.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's right. I'm getting enough talking. All right, every Friday for the next 100 years, Jimmy. How about that, buddy?
I appreciate it, man. And thanks for spending a couple of minutes here with us.
Has it been? That felt like nothing.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Jimmy.
All right, take care. There he goes. Adam Carolla, man. And one of the highlights of, I got to say, my career, you know, sitting there for an hour every Friday night talking to a guy who makes me laugh my ass off. Adam Carolla, everybody. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're going to do news at 9 o'clock, probably 9:15 when we come back here. Do you know what's going on with that news?
Well, if you like going to dinner parties, there might be work for you in France. And the Womb Raider has an unhealthy obsession with the Tomb Raider. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Oh, boy. All right, you are listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk.
More shows like this at 97.1 FMTalk.com.